Save those snails. And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet.
Actually, if you were to look through at the sun, less in terms of the light, which is reasonably constant, and more in terms of a sound metaphor, then it's actually pulsing. It's vibrating and pulsing. And it has a web, an electromagnetic web, which extends out from its center all the way to the Earth and beyond. And that web is also pulsing. And there are cycles within that we simply don't understand. They are short-term cycles, 11 and 22 years. There's a 70-year cycle. There's a doubling of that. And there are 400, 1,500, and possibly 5,000-year cycles in relation to the sun. And we simply don't understand what drives those cycles. But we can see that they're there, because if you go to lake sediments and ice cores, you can see the patterns and their harmonics that are repeating.
Of course, that the electromagnetic field of the sun, the heliosphere, has virtually collapsed and is now clinging desperately to the skin of the sun. And again, that probably doesn't sound too important to people listening, but what most people don't realize, but what the astronomical community is very concerned with, is that the Earth sits within this heliosphere, within this electromagnetic...
It reaches out plenty far, folks.
Oh, yeah. And it acts like a protective coating or a layer to coat the... We lie within the sheath of this thing, and it's so cosmic rays, intergalactic cosmic rays, gamma rays, synchrotron radiation... All of these things that are flying around dangerously in deep space are buffered by this thing, and so they don't usually hit the Earth.
Perfect word. I was looking for a word. That's a perfect word.
But now they're getting through, and no one knows what this means because it's never happened. What's going on here is there is a 13,000-year-long cycle of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And... And I think that a lot of the indigenous peoples and the Egyptians and the Hindus in India and were so concerned by the last time that it happened that they created secret societies not to create conspiracies, at least not back then, but merely to pass on this information about the cyclic nature of the sun. And this is what the Mayan calendar, I believe, is marking, because it distinctly calls 2012 the end of the fifth sun.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the end of this particular cycle of the sun. The Cross of Hende, which I wrote a book about in France, it has an angry sun face with a caricature of what solar flares might look like to a person 400 years ago when the cross was built. And so I think we're heading into an unprecedented time of lack of solar activity, and I can explain this later, a tremendous amount of solar activity. I think we're heading towards that right now. When I say solar activity, I'm talking about coronal mass ejections, solar flares that actually strike the Earth, not causing satellite damage, but actually ignite forests and boil the ocean and things like that. So this is what I think is happening, and I think that the people in charge know this and are taking extreme precautions.
That's why they're digging their big holes in the ground. So
yeah,
they can go
the
high.
Collider.
Chan and Balam, it says, in the year Katan 13 Ahu, which is how they measure time, they said that there will be infertility, there will be famine, and the earth will tilt on its axis. Oh, they don't say that. They say the sun will not be seen for 5 days. Now, when I looked at that, it seemed to me to all of those three things could be caused by a change in the sun's magnetic behavior.
I think we have to be open to the possibility that it's a recurring cycle of destruction, because that's precisely what the ancient myths say, that there is some dark danger that visits the Earth periodically over long periods of history. It may go away for thousands and thousands of years. It may be completely forgotten. It may be something that people never ever think about, but then like a grim avenger, it comes back, it returns to strike us down again. And there seems to be some kind of cycle operating, which perhaps we don't fully understand. And I suppose the alarming prospect, and the one that should focus our minds and that we should consider seriously, is that this cyclical cataclysm spoken of in the ancient myths and in the traditions just might return in our own time. We should learn the lessons of history, that we should be aware that what struck our ancestors down may return to strike us again today. We could indeed be facing the return. All we have are the memories and the traditions and perhaps the warnings that have been passed down to us by ancient civilizations. And there's no doubt in my mind, very clearly ringing out like a bell, is a warning coming down to us from the past. And
do you think one of those warnings was issued by the Mayans?
Yes, I do. I think the Mayan calendar is extremely interesting in this respect. And the Mayan calendar does, of course, contain a prophecy which could be interpreted as a prophecy literally of the end of the world. In our time, certainly of the end of civilization as we know it, and very specific dates, and the date the Maya put on it, translated into our calendar, is the 21st of December, 2012. 21st of December, 2012. 21st of December, 2012. Simply as a little local issue here on this planet, but really as the focus of a kind of cosmic struggle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, and that the decisions and actions of mankind may rebound far beyond ourselves out into the cosmos, that we may in fact be the fulcrum on which the entire cosmos pivots. And while that may sound very self-aggrandizing, it is the message of the ancient text. It is, for example, the message of the Gnostic text, the Nag Hammadi library that comes down to us from Egypt, that was found in 1945, documents that were written more than 2,000 years ago, see us as the focus and fulcrum of a cosmic struggle.